together. It's easy love, it's like a glove from up above. Together. Not fair that we should be together, but if it's fine that I've done my time, let's walk the line together. And when she's low, I'll always know we'll always go together. Easy love, it's like a glove from up above. Together.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active. Another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just got invited to the prom. Do you A, meet her date?
I need to see your past date report cards, your driver's license, a list of references, and this hair sample.
B, help her pick out a dress.
Don't you just love the long sleeves and turtleneck on this pantsuit?
Ugh.
C, attend the prom undercover.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm not Mom, I'm Calvin, the new kid at school.
Or D, capture her big moment.
Let's take a photo of you two. I'm in the middle.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Come here. WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Carey with you until 9 o'clock tonight, 855-915-6636. Remains the telephone number. Please, please, please use the telephone number in emergencies only, because there's just one of me here. There's just one of me to press buttons and talk and do all the things that I have to do. And I am thinking of renaming the show Crazy Town, or Crazy Time, excuse me. Crazy Time with Derek Carey. That may be the new show name, Crazy Time with Derek Carey, because it is crazy time. We are in the middle of crazy time. We are in the deep end of the crazy pool with a very heavy rock tied around our necks. And the crazy is going to unfold over the course of tonight. There's going to be more crazy than you ever imagined was possible. But before I get into that, a little breaking news tonight, and a little information you may want to know. If you are in the city of Boston, or if you, this is bigger than the immediate news that's coming out on this. That's what we're looking for. From WCVB Boston, this just broke earlier today. Two young children diagnosed with meningococcal disease in Boston. Most of us are in and out of Boston on a regular basis. So if you got kids, if you're in and out of Boston, something you want to know. Two children in Boston were diagnosed with meningococcal disease and are now being tested for bacterial meningitis. So might be meningitis. We don't know yet. Both cases have been associated with Horizons for Homeless Children locations in Roxbury and Dorchester. It's not known if the two cases are connected. The last day that either of the children were at one of the daycare centers was Friday, officials said. Quote, we do not know if these cases are related, but we are working closely with the Boston Public Health Commission and have taken all recommended precautions to protect our students and staff at these locations. Anyone who came in close contact with the children has been identified and received antibiotics as a precautionary measure. Meningococcal disease, which includes bacterial meningitis, is an infectious disease that is caused by a bacterial infection. The disease is spread from person to person through saliva, requiring close contact with infected individuals. Time from exposure to developing symptoms is between 1 to 10 days and usually fewer than 4 days. Symptoms, and this is something you want to know, symptoms develop rapidly and include nausea, vomiting, increased sensitivity to light, and altered mental status or confusion. Meningococcal disease has become less common in recent years, with between 10 to 15 reported cases statewide each year. There are several different forms, including infection of the blood and infection of the brain and spinal cord, known as meningitis. I have had meningitis, and believe me, when I tell you, you do not want to have that experience. I got it when I was 18 years old. I thought I was going to die. There's a shot that you can get to prevent viral meningitis. But it doesn't do you much good against bacterial meningitis. They're two different things. And the bacterial form is the one that is much harder to catch. But this is something that you want to be aware of if you've had close contact with people in either of those centers, if you've got young children who are in close contact with other young children in the city of Boston, something to be aware of. You know, this one's a little bit tricky to catch. It's not like the measles thing from a couple weeks ago. Haven't heard of any more cases of that yet, but we're right in the symptom window for the measles. So we'll find out if more people are going to get the measles or not. And apparently, I thought this was related. There's a story here. Meningococcal infections among homeless in Boston raise questions. That was 3 years ago. So hopefully that is done. But anyway, something to be aware of. If you are concerned, talk to your doctor. If you have been in contact with young children in the city, close contact with young children in the city of Boston, in the last several days, talk to your doctor. They can treat this. It's antibiotics. You spend a week on the antibiotics and you're fine. So, breaking news. Crazy time. We're going to get into crazy time. And I'm going to preface this story by saying this isn't necessarily a crazy time story. This is probably the least crazy story that I've read in the past week. It's been a really slow news cycle lately. And apparently everybody's bored and has just decided to be crazy. Because we're going to get deep into the crazy in the coming minutes on this program. But this one comes to us from the Boston City Council. And I want to give you a little background on something before I get into this story. When I was growing up in the 1970s, there was a product called Jarts, also known as lawn darts. And if you've ever played cornhole, cornhole is kind of the Nerf version of lawn darts. Lawn darts was a game where you would put a ring on the ground, on the grass, and you would underhand throw a dart and try and get it into the middle of the ring. The lawn dart itself was about a 1 foot long, 5 pound, highly sharpened steel spike with a plastic flight attached to one end of it. Okay? Highly sharpened 5 pound steel spike that people are just throwing back and forth on the wall. Can you see where this is going? Do I need to tell you that every Friday people would go home for the weekend, and every Saturday and Sunday the emergency room would see people coming in with lawn darts in their feet, lawn darts in their legs, lawn darts sticking out of other parts of their bodies, because it is a 5 pound sharpened steel spike that people are throwing around. I attended a wedding in the 1970s and saw someone get pretty badly gashed by a lawn dart. Someone had said those shouldn't be out, everyone's drinking. Alcohol and sharpened 5 pound steel spikes are not a good match. Now, not everyone was injured by lawn darts, but a lot of people were. And in a particularly tragic case, a 7-year-old girl was killed by a playmate who threw one of these darts at her. So the Consumer Product Safety Commission said enough is enough. They banned lawn darts. They made it illegal to own lawn darts. You can't sell lawn darts in this country. They never confiscated them, so they're still floating. There's probably some in an attic, maybe on the top shelf in the garage. There's still a lot of them floating around out there. But you can't sell them. You can't give them to anybody. Technically, you can't even use them. You know, if you get caught using lawn darts, the police are going to come by and they're going to take your lawn darts away. And at the time that they were banned, a lot of people started screaming, "Nanny state, nanny state," because you know, their attitude is, hey, I'm responsible with my lawn darts. Why am I being penalized for this? And the reason you're being penalized for it is because in 1 year, 6,500 people went into the emergency room with lawn dart injuries. So clearly we can't handle the lawn darts. Lawn darts are too much for the American people to deal with. So we're taking the lawn darts away. We, as your government, have decided that we are better off without lawn darts than we are with lawn darts and emergency rooms full of people with lawn darts sticking out of them. And everyone gets angry at the government. It's not the government's fault. That's leadership, actually. That is the government saying, hey, we have a public safety issue here. We really ought to do something about this. And so everyone loses the ability to play lawn darts, and we come up with cornhole instead, and everyone's happy. Now, I bring this up because there was a hearing in the Boston City Council on Monday talking about another potential ban that is driven by a need for public safety. And it has triggered these similar cries of outrage among people. How dare you infringe on my rights? How dare you take this right away from me? Well, first of all, let me get into the story, and then we'll get into some of the finer points here. This is from Boston.com. Activists, it's always activists. Any headline that begins with activists, you can immediately tune out half of the story. Activists say proposed Boston mask ban could put protesters in danger. Boston police and local activists sounded off at a city council hearing on Monday over a proposed mask ban that takes aim at the face covering tactics often used by public protesters. Councillor Tim McCarthy filed the measure last month in the wake of August's Straight Pride Parade, where counter-protesters clashed with authorities. 36 were arrested, including 9 for allegedly assaulting police, and 4 officers were injured. Prosecutors later dropped charges against those accused of nonviolent crimes. Quote, "Let's be honest, the counter-protest was not peaceful protest," McCarthy said, pointing to groups like Antifa, the anti-fascist protest movement. Quote, "What they're doing is not speech," he added. "They are using force and violence that is not protected." Councillor McCarthy, you are 100% correct. That was not a peaceful protest, and that is not protected speech. You are 100% correct in both of those things. Those are statements of fact. McCarthy said the proposal would ban mask wearing in public places and is needed common sense legislation. The law would include certain exemptions, such as for religious wear and medical masks. It also, I don't think they mentioned this here, but it would only apply to people over the age of 16. So if you're under 16, you can wear masks to your heart, to your heart's content. If you're over 16, you can't do it. It's not officially in the law, but I don't think we're talking about the police coming and getting you because you're wearing a mask on Halloween, okay? If you're wearing a mask on Halloween and hitting people with a baseball bat, yeah, they're going to come get you. But if you're out trick-or-treating on Halloween, which is where the under 16 thing comes in, or if you're going to a party and you're on the subway wearing a mask, it's Halloween. You're fine. Don't worry about it. Police have seen protest groups become more organized, carrying equipment like handheld radios and batons, and combative with law enforcement in recent years, said Boston Police Superintendent William Ridge of the Bureau of Field Services. Masks embolden people to act out in ways they otherwise wouldn't, he added. Quote, "When we are doing our job, we are becoming a target," Ridge said. But authorities have also drawn criticism from protesters who say officers were overly aggressive in handling crowds, using pepper spray at one point to clear protesters from downtown streets after the August 31st parade. Well, this is what activists say 100% of the time, okay? I wasn't there. I can't speak to it, okay? If you consider pepper spray violent, you don't understand what violence is, okay? Pepper spray is a crowd control measure. If you do what the police ask you to do, if you move along when they ask you to move along, they're not breaking out the pepper spray. Critics of the ban say not only would such a measure infringe on civil liberties, which it will not, the rule would endanger protesters who, unmasked, would run the risk of becoming the target of threats from extremist groups if identified in photos posted on the internet. Now we walk into crazy time. Quote, "I am 60 years old and I wore a mask on August 31st, said a Boston resident who declined to provide her full name to Boston.com out of fear for her safety. Way to have the courage of your convictions, ma'am. She told counselors she was doxxed, targeted after her private information was shared over the internet within the past year by conservative groups." Oh no, what are they going to do? What are the conservatives going to do? Are they going to robocall you? Are the conservatives going to leave some leaflets in your mailbox? Like where are these rampaging gangs of conservatives who are beating up old ladies? The only old ladies I see being terrorized are being terrorized by Antifa. Those aren't conservatives, ma'am. That's the left. That's not even the left. Okay, Antifa isn't even the left. They are anarchists. They are anarchists. To quote Michael Caine from The Dark Knight, some people just want to watch the world burn. That's Antifa. That's their game. Okay, they come to these events to incite mayhem. And they wear masks while they are inciting mayhem. And if they weren't allowed to wear masks, as I have advocated, I brought this up after the Straight Pride Parade. which was just a big goof, by the way. It was just a bunch of people with nothing better to do on a weekend coming together and hanging around and marching around and saying, hey, you know, we're straight, we're here, get used to it, whatever they were doing, and then going out and having a drink after. It was a stunt carried out by some people to probe whether or not the city of Boston was enforcing everybody's right to freedom of assembly in the public square. Okay? They're basically saying, you have a gay pride parade, we want to have a straight pride parade. And they're daring the city of Boston to have a problem with that. And the city of Boston fought them on it initially, and then they backed off because they were like, you know what? You're right. You're right. If you want to have a straight pride parade, get a permit and you can have your parade. Okay? If you want to have an I Love Gumby parade, get a permit. You can have a parade. Anybody can have a parade. We're not going to let the Klan come in and burn a cross in City Hall Plaza because that's hate speech. But if you want to get together and have a straight pride parade, which, by the way, had a gay man as its mascot and keynote speaker, you know, this wasn't a hate group. It was just a bunch of people who were like, we want to see if our First Amendment rights will be supported by the city of Boston. And they were. But then all of these people come out, Antifa, because they've got it in their heads that this is a hate group. Oh, and we have to smash the hate group. They don't care, okay? This is a bunch of weekend warriors, all right, sitting around looking for any excuse to create mischief and mayhem. And the one thing that they all have in common is they wear masks. So here we have City Councilor Tim McCarthy basically saying, I got a solution. No masks. You cannot wear masks. If you wear a mask, you'll be put under arrest. It's a good idea. And, I might add, it's constitutional. You do not have any right to anonymity in a public space in the United States. Civics 101. You do not have a right to anonymity in public spaces in the United States. That is a fact. If you don't believe me, you can go read the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And when you read them, you will see that there is nothing in there that says you have a right to anonymity in a public place because it's not there. The Founding Fathers did not. You have the right to privacy in your home. You may have the right to anonymity in some spheres, but public places are not one of those spheres. You go out in public, your right to anonymity is gone. And if you need further proof of that, take a look at any of the security cameras around you. Because not only do you not have the right to anonymity, you specifically don't have the right to anonymity. Because all those security cameras on federal buildings and private buildings, looking at the streets, looking at the sidewalks, looking at City Hall Plaza, police walking around with cameras, cameras on the Mass Turnpike taking pictures of your license plate, all of that stuff has been challenged in the courts. And the courts have found time and time again that that kind of surveillance is legal. If you're going to show up at a protest, expect to be identified. And if you're going to show up at a protest, have the courage of your convictions. Okay? You don't show your support for a cause by wearing a mask and hiding in the background. That's not how activism works. That's not how protesting works, okay? If you're going to lend your voice to a cause, then you have to do so publicly. Otherwise, your input is meaningless. And that's where this anonymous 60-year-old protester is wrong, okay? You're afraid of the rampaging conservative gangs in the city of Boston? I'm sorry, those don't exist. Quote, I did not, this is the 60-year-old activist again. I did not attend the protest itching for a fight as Councilman McCarthy would have you all believe. I don't have a temperament for fighting. And my slightly arthritic joints would make such behavior ill-advised. I wore a mask to keep me safe. Well, if you feel you need to wear a mask to keep yourself safe, then stay home. That simple. Stay home. Or have the courage of your convictions. One of the two. You can't have it both ways. You can't show up and say, oh, I was there. Oh, really? Which one were you? Oh, I'm the one over way, 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 way back in the distance, all the way over in that up against that wall in the corner wearing the mask. Well, that could be anybody. How do we know that you're there? The mask ban, if passed, would join similar laws in other states, including Virginia, which McCarthy has cited an example to model. That law prohibits anyone over the age of 16 from wearing a mask, hood, or any device whereby a substantial portion of the face is hidden or covered to conceal their identity on public property. In Massachusetts, state law already criminalizes wearing a mask or disguise to obstruct the law or prevent an officer from doing his or her job. Counselor Anissa Counselor Anissa Isabi George said she worries about replicating a state law in a city ordinance rather than making sure it's properly enforced. Well, here's she's right to raise the issue. But this is where the counselor misses the point. The state law was written primarily to target bank robbers and muggers. And street robbers, okay? People who are going to put a mask on and go hold up a bank. So if you rob a bank, that's a crime. If you rob a bank while wearing a mask, that's an additional crime. What Counselor McCarthy is saying is, I want the act of wearing a mask to be the crime. I want to empower Boston police to arrest these people on site before they are able to commit violent acts, before they are able to incite mayhem. Ridge said state law has not been an effective deterrent, but he could not provide information on whether anyone arrested at the parade received that charge. To the best of my knowledge, they did not. Police understand that somebody simply wearing a mask is not a criminal, he said. However, masks make it difficult for police to track down suspects who assault officers or commit other crimes at protests. Antifa members have gone on record as saying they wear masks so they can commit crimes. They've said it, okay? People in Portland, people in Seattle, Antifa members have said this. Why do you wear masks? So that we can commit crimes, so that we won't get caught when we commit crimes. They know they are committing crimes. They know they are committing acts of violence. They know they are committing acts of mayhem. That's why they're there. That's why they showed up at the protest, to incite mayhem, to attack people and police officers, to commit acts of violence. And it was either Tim McCarthy or the Boston Police Commissioner, somebody was on with Dan Ray on WBZ last night talking about Antifa and the problems that they're having with Antifa. And they said what they do is they communicate with cell phones and social media and apps, and they figure out ahead of time a safe place to stash all their stuff, right? So somebody lives near a protest site, and they'll be like, hey, put all your stuff in my backyard. So they all come to Boston. They go to this one backyard. They pick up all their trash can shields. They pick up their batons. They pick up their milkshakes laced with whatever they're laced with. They pick up their bottles of urine. They put on their masks. And then they go in and they create mayhem. That's why they're there. That's why they showed up. The mask has become a public safety problem. Not for everybody, not because everyone is behaving irresponsibly, but because a certain group of people is behaving very irresponsibly. And the Boston City Council, the government of the city of Boston, the government of the state of Massachusetts, they have two responsibilities here. They have a responsibility to protect their employees, police officers, firefighters, EMS, city workers. And they have a responsibility to protect the public. That is actually their constitutional responsibility. Okay? The government doesn't just give you a right to assemble and a right to protest. It gives you the right to do so peaceably, which means that your safety, should you choose to protest, needs to be reasonably assured. And if we have a group of people showing up in masks to beat people and throw substances on people and throw bear spray around all over the place and attack police officers, then our government needs to do something about that. The mask ban is their solution. In my eyes, it is a good solution. And if some people are afraid to show up and actually put their name and their face to whatever cause it is that they support, I'm sorry. Too bad. Okay? I understand that you're not there to create mayhem, but some people are. And the only fair way that we can deal with this is to make wearing a mask to a protest illegal. Because then when police see people in masks, they can pick them up, they can take them down to the station, they can say, you're going to sit here until 2 hours after that event is over, and then we're going to let you go and enjoy your $150 fine. Don't do it again. Second offense, we're going to throw you in jail for a week. Now, I don't know what the penalties are for this, but that's basically what's going to happen. All right? Right now, the police have to wait until the violence starts. They have to wait until the mayhem starts and people are in danger of getting hurt, possibly killed, before they can do anything. That's unacceptable. That should be unacceptable to every one of us. And if that means you can't wear a mask, that's the end result. Don't be angry at the government. They're just doing their job. They're just trying to protect the public and protect their employees. The people you should be angry at are Antifa, because they are the ones who are costing you this freedom to wear a mask in public. But when you have people like this who are out to cause mayhem, who are out to hurt others, we don't have a choice. We do not have a choice except to do something to try and stop the violence. And what do we know about these Antifa clowns? They show up wearing masks. So you make it illegal to wear a mask, you arrest them as soon as you see them, and you have peaceful protest. And you haven't actually sacrificed any rights. Wearing a mask in public is a privilege. The government does not have to give you that privilege. Okay? You don't have a right to wear a mask in public. You do not have a right to be anonymous in public. If you are going to show up to a protest, if you are going to lend your voice to a cause, you should do so fully expecting that people are going to find out that you are a supporter of that cause. And you should be proud to do that. And if people are harassing you or trying to retaliate against you for doing that, there are laws in place to protect you. Okay? The answer is not that you show up in a sack and you're walking around all day in a big bag, you know, so nobody knows who you are. Well, who cares? The people that matter in a movement are the people who put their necks out. And that has always been the case. We have this new form of quote-unquote activism in this country where, oh, everybody's anonymous. And a bunch of people show up and they're like, yeah, we hate this. Or, yeah, we love this. Well, who are you? Right? Put a name to it. Put a face to it. Don't worry about the gangs of conservatives that are going to come after you. Don't worry that you might get put on a John Birch Society mailing list, you know, or that somebody's going to leave a don't tread on me flag on your front lawn, okay? Because, first of all, it's probably not going to happen, okay? The people you want to be worried about are the people wearing the masks, carrying the bear spray, and the trash can shields, and the batons. They're the people you want to be afraid of. And it doesn't matter if you are right or left. You want to be afraid of them. Because if you are a part of any organized establishment, they don't like you. They are just here to smash things. They are a problem. They are out of control. And the easiest way to deal with them is to ban the masks. You ban the masks, this behavior goes away immediately. Because if these people face the real possibility of arrest, because here's the thing, if you get arrested, that's a public record. And now we know who you are. And that is the one thing that these Antifa criminals fear the most of all, is having their identities uncovered. Because then there are repercussions. Then there are investigations. Then there are past crimes that can come back to haunt them. This is a solid idea. And believe me, no one's giving up any right. if the city of Boston says you can't wear a mask anymore. No one is giving up any right. All you are gaining is safety and your right to peaceably protest. You may disagree. You may see it differently. I see this as the best possible way of dealing with Antifa. WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. Now we're into crazy time. Now we're deeply, deeply into crazy time. That was the one good story that I had for you. Everything else here this week is just crazy time. The vaping ban is still in effect. I was wrong. You may want to mark that on your calendar. October 23rd, 2019, Derek Gary said on the air he was wrong. I was wrong about the vaping ban. I assumed that a judge would look at what had happened here and say, you know, it was a public health thing, but you're also doing this to try and stop children from vaping when you have laws on the books to prevent that. This is being done under false pretenses. Your ban is no good. That's not what happened. What happened is the judge said, this ban is unconstitutional. You have a week to fix it. It is too broad in scope. And to be fair, there is a legitimate public health issue, okay? Because something that people are inhaling is making people very sick. And we can't have that. We don't need a black market in CBD and THC products, especially when people are dying and we don't understand why they're dying. So I was wrong. I expected that the ban would be thrown out. Instead, the Baker administration was given a week to define it and come up with a rationale behind it. It may be thrown out at that point, and then it's going to go back and forth through the courts. And by the time this is done, it'll probably be January either way. And the people are still out of work, and the businesses are still shutting down, and everybody's buying their vapes on the black market. Well, here's another one from CBS Boston, just in time for Halloween. Wonka Bar, and again, fake news. This is a fake news headline designed to gin up hysteria. Wonka Bars, nerds ropes in huge bust of pot-laced candy seized by Peabody police. That headline is factually false. The police did not seize any Wonka bars. The police did not seize any nerds ropes. And the first line, the first paragraph of the story contradicts the headline. Peabody, CBS. Peabody police arrested two men and made a major seizure of, quote, illegal marijuana products, end quote, over the weekend. Photos posted on the department's Facebook page showed boxes full of marijuana-laced candy, including Wonka Bar and Nerds Ropes lookalikes. Wonka Bar, this is what the edibles guys do, right? Is that they call it the Tonka Bar, you know, or they call it the Toka Bar or whatever. And they use the same font and all the rest of that, and they make it look like a Wonka Bar. It is not a Wonka Bar. So you can't have a headline, oh, they put scare quotes around Wonka Bars and Nerds Ropes. Still fake headline. Still fake news. Wonka Bars and Nerds Ropes in huge bust of pot-laced candy. No, they weren't. No Wonka Bars or Nerds Ropes were picked up in this bust. The products are estimated to have a street value of $1.2 million. Neighbors assisted an investigation that led to the arrest of Gary Chiaffi of John Road, police said. Marco Sosa was also arrested after he was seen entering the home with a black backpack. Both men were arraigned on Monday. Chiaffi was held on $100,000 cash bail, while Sosa's bail was set at $2,500. Other items seen in photos from the Peabody seizure included bags that resemble Rice Krispies treats and Wicked Worms. There's a Z on the end of that. Quote, it appears the black market is still viable, Peabody police wrote. Well, of course it is. Of course it is. You just shut down all the vape shops. What happens when you shut down the vape shops? people go to the black market, right? Somewhere in this state, right now, somewhere within 5 miles of this radio station, somebody is making a lot of money by driving up to New Hampshire, loading up on vapes, bringing them down here, and selling them out of the trunk of his car. Somebody within 5 miles of me is doing that. I don't know who it is. Statistically, I know that it's happening. Prosecutors said police seized 119 pounds of raw marijuana. That's a lot of pot. You're not getting a personal use exemption on that. 119 pounds of raw marijuana, 6,365 pre-rolled blunts dipped in THC oil, and 4,148 THC-infused edibles. This is a serious operation this guy's running. I mean, this is the distribution warehouse, I think. Chaffee is a father of two children who live in the Peabody home. Oh, dear. All right, well, it's either Chaffa or Chaffee. Fake news, CBS can't seem to figure out what his last name is. Quote, there are small children that live around here that play with their children. If their kids ever got into that, it could be a tragedy, said neighbor Ann Wanowski. No, it's not going to be a tragedy. Marijuana doesn't kill children. The bust comes as police departments nationwide. Now, here's actual, realistic, real news. The bust comes as police departments nationwide have warned parents to be vigilant about their children's Halloween candy. Police earlier this month, seized bags of Nerds ropes laced with THC. Again, fake news, okay? Police in Pennsylvania did not seize bags of Nerds ropes. They did not. Here's the first line of the news article. Police say they found candy that looked like Nerds ropes during a recent drug bust, and it was laced with THC. Yes, because the product is made to resemble Nerds ropes, okay? It's a fake, I forget what they call these things. And this is the Johnstown Police Department. The Johnstown Police would like to draw extra attention to the Nerds rope edibles containing 400 milligrams of THC found during a search warrant in Stony Creek Township. During this Halloween, we urge parents to be ever vigilant in checking their children's candy before allowing them to consume those treats. Drug-laced edibles are packaged like regular candy and may be hard to distinguish from the real candy. This is true. Okay, these guys are on point with this. And for whatever reason, I can't get the stupid thing to open. But the package clearly says there's a big white box in the corner that says 400 milligrams THC per rope. I can't read what the actual name of these things is. It's something rope. It may say Nerds rope, but it's not the candy that you buy in the store. Okay. This stuff clearly is labeled as a THC edible. Okay. It is an edible product. It is not candy. I mean, candy laced with THC. But it clearly says on the package 400 milligrams of THC. Now, fake news aside, and CBS Boston is just atrocious. Just atrocious. Shut it down. You guys are so... Half of the time I click on their articles and there's like three sentences. The other half of the time, it's fake news. Just give it up. Give it up. You're done. Fire everybody who's over there and get someone in there that can actually write news and make it accurate. Okay? The last sentence should say, police in Pennsylvania earlier this month seized bags of a product resembling Nerds ropes containing THC. Because the Nerds people are not making THC-infused edibles. But this does bring up a worthwhile point, and one that you should consider, which is, we do live in a state now with legal marijuana, and there are a lot of edible marijuana products, including candies, that are out in our communities, okay? They're legal to own. They're legal to have. So there are a couple of things that could happen here. Number one, someone could get the great idea that I'm going to give all the kids edibles this Halloween. That's going to cost way more than full-size bars even. But you can't rule that out. The other possibility is someone mixes up their THC edibles with the Halloween candy and accidentally gives the kids the THC gummy worms. So if you have kids who are out trick-or-treating this Halloween, you absolutely, you want to say two things to the kids. Number one, you do not eat any candy before you get home, before I look at it. And if I find out that you ate the candy, I'm taking all the rest of it away from you and you will never trick-or-treat again. Number two, don't let them eat anything until you've had a look at it, okay? THC products are very clearly marked, okay? The name of the product will be a little bit off, but you will see, probably, but you will see a label on the product telling you that it contains THC or that it contains CBD. It is required to be there by law. So you want to be vigilant for that. You want to keep it, you don't want your kid getting high is what you don't want. Because one of the things that will happen is if someone who's never had marijuana before eats a lot of this stuff, you're going to get sick. You're going to get violently ill. You're going to get, you know, you're probably going to get so violently ill that you're hauling the kid off to the pediatrician or down to the emergency room and saying, what happened here? And they're going to say, THC. Worst case scenario might be someone getting their stomach pumped. I don't know if they do that for THC or not. But if you eat a lot of marijuana edible, you can get very sick. You can be throwing up until that stuff clears out of your system. So do be vigilant about that. Do not be vigilant about the hysteria, okay? There aren't people, the police aren't busting people who are lacing candy, which is what this headline makes it sound like. Oh, there's Wonka bars and Nerds ropes with THC out on the street. No, there are THC products that resemble Nerds and Wonka bars out on the street. And you as a parent need to know what to look for. You need to know what's what. And by the way, some of you older kids out there, maybe the ones past trick-or-treat age, go easy on the edibles this Halloween. Go easy on the edible candy. Know your limits. Because I will tell you, you eat too much of the stuff, you're going to have a very, very miserable Halloween. You're going to have a miserable 2 days after that Halloween, okay? The stuff will make you sick. And it will make you sick. And we're not talking about like, oh, I had too much to drink and I threw up. No, we're talking about you're not going to be able to keep food down for a couple of days. And you're going to be in absolute misery waiting for that stuff to clear out of your system. So parents, ideally trick-or-treat with your children. If you cannot, tell them no candy. No candy at all until you come home and I get a chance to look at it. Go through all the candy. Keep an eye out. Anything that is inedible is going to be marked. It's going to say CBD on it. It's going to say THC on it. Anything that's in a damaged package or looks like it's been tampered with, you throw that out immediately. In those couple of steps, you should be able to keep your kids safe this Halloween. 855-915-9636. It is crazy time with Derek. Oh, no, it's the big picture. Soon to be crazy time with Derek Airy. That's going to be the new name of the show, is Crazy Time with Derek Airy.
Oh, no, why? There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your massive 5-day forecast is not bad unless you're going to the game on Sunday. Ha ha. Oh, that's me. Wait a minute. That's not funny. So here we go. Tonight, it's going to be mild. It's going to be lows in the, where are we here? Lows around 50 degrees in the city, upper 40s, mid 40s in some of your cooler suburbs. Thursday, high in the mid 60s, sunny skies, lows once again in the mid 40s Thursday night. Friday, few clouds blowing around, but nothing serious. High around 60 degrees, lows in the mid to lower 40s Friday night, so a little autumn chill in the air. That continues into Saturday, which is going to be a nice, like, you want that day to go leaf peep? You want that day to go apple picking? You want that day to go enjoy autumn activities? Sunny skies on Sunday, high in the mid-50s, low in the 40s Saturday night, and then Sunday, rain. Rain, rain, rain. 70% chance of rain during the day, 50% chance at night. Bring your slicker. Bring your slicker and your rubbers if you're going down to Gillette Stadium, because you're going to get wet. High in the mid-50s, low in the upper 40s on Sunday night. great. Always, always enjoy watching a Patriots game in the rain. It is The Big Picture. I am Derek Gary. On the Town with Mikey D. We'll be here at 9 o'clock, as always. When we come back, more crazy time from the city of Boston and around the nation. If you value free speech, you may want to move to another country. This is WMFO Medford.
This is Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Many people ask me, is a prime rib roast prime quality? Not necessarily. Prime rib is just another name for a beef rib roast. You'll often see it written this way on restaurant menus. Prime rib is not a reference to the grade or quality of the meat. This is a little confusing since the top grade for beef is USDA prime. So you could have a USDA prime rib, or you could have a USDA Choice prime rib. So remember, if you're looking for the top grade of beef, look for the letters USDA along with the word prime. Or if you want the next quality grade, look for USDA Choice. It's almost as high in quality and is the grade sold in most stores. For more free information on buying meat, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Medford 91.5 FM. Hey, did you know that this Saturday, October 26th, is WMFO Live Music Day? All day, live music coming your way from Studio A and Studio D. Both of those are going to be in use tonight during On the Town. But we've got music going from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. And you're going to get like different bands every hour. So here's some of what we've got going on. From 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., Songwriter Circle with Jonathan Farrell. I can barely read this font. Katie Dobbins and Frank Rowe. From 9 to 10 a.m., Songwriter Circle with Vicky Porter, Gary Modello, Janae Halstead. From 10 a.m. to 10:40, Sweet Wednesday. Yes, you remember Sweet Wednesday. They're like the house band of the Big Picture. We love them. They're going to be live here on WMFO. From 10:40 to 11:20, Randy Black. 11:20 to 12 p.m., If We Go At All. From noon to 12:40, Larry Newman. From 12:40 to 1:20, State of the Union. From 1:20 to 2, Sarah Levesque. From 2 to 2:40, Bird Mancini. From 2:40 to 3:20, Carissa Johnson. From 3:20 to 4, Adam Sherman. From 4 to 4:40, Katie Dobbins. From 4:40 to 5:20, Bad Marriage. And then we close it out, 5:20 to 6 o'clock, The Cast Irons with Maverick. All of that live, coming out of your radio or your streaming device at no cost to you whatsoever this Saturday. All you have to do is turn the dial to WMFO. It is live music day this Saturday. Hey, tune in for Sweet Wednesday. They're awesome. They're dear friends of mine, and they make great, great, great music. Meanwhile, okay, now we have to go back to crazy time because it is crazy time. And a warning, fair warning right now for the sensitive types. The following segment will contain use of the word bitch. If you don't like that word, if you don't want to hear that word, I suggest you tune out for the next 12 to 15 minutes and then come back. Because the word bitch is the subject of legislation in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. If you can believe it, your free speech is 100% under assault. Tuesday afternoon, this comes to us from Boston Magazine, which, by the way, is cranking out some decent journalism. CBS Boston is a joke and a fraud and not worth the click anymore. Boston Magazine and WBUR are both picking up the slack and doing a nice job. They still have people over there that